Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City, the only podcast from Jandel. Don't forget your spacesuit.
Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week, Sunny Hollywood Pooney, Joey Quesada, and right there is Lee, the Goddess of Thunder. How are you?
Hey.
All right, how's everybody doing? It's so good to see you guys. It's been a while since we've been able to do a show because we've all been traveling. Sunny went to Las Vegas and California, and Joey and Lee and I were in the in Florida in Sarasota, and we were at Kiss Cancer Goodbye. Sunny will try to come back on. We were at Kiss Cancer Goodbye. I would rate it a 10 out of 10. Joey, what about you?
Oh my God, of course, 20 out of 10. Easy. What a great weekend, great event, Neil. Never fails when he puts on one of these events.
Absolutely. Lee, did you have a great time?
I had a great time. Such deep cuts, watching Joey play. I mean, all the musicians were amazing. I needed that weekend. Like, just listening to all the deep cuts just took me away, man. It was awesome.
Let me tell you something. Here is a secret for all you guys that are listening and watching right now. I almost killed Lee on this trip.
Oh, I think I was on the phone, right?
You were on the phone. Get a phone call where it's like, I don't know what time it is at night, like 11 o'clock at night. We're on our way back to our hotels. Joey calls and says, hey, we're at the hotel. We're all here at the bar. I said, where's it at? You said, at the same time, I whipped a turn that was like a left and angle that had a point to it. And Lee, unbeknownst to me, had not put her seatbelt on.
I was in the back seat. I never put my seatbelt on.
I looked back and she was on the floor of our car.
I literally fell onto the floor.
It sounded, when I was on the phone with you guys, it sounded like you were all in a club and it was just chaos going around. I didn't know. I figured I'd invite you guys to the bar. We're all hanging out. And I said, it sounds like they're already at a club. They're having a good time.
Nope.
Anyway, so it was a blast, okay? We had a blast. Let's go ahead and talk about a few different things. First of all, I want to say that Neil put on a great event. Everybody had a great time. I didn't see anybody complaining about anything. The bands were good. The singers were good. The drummers, but I'll talk about me.
It's me and you.
Me, not you.
That's right.
The bands were great. I loved the music. Everybody was 100% into it. And it was just so much fun. Joey, so let's talk about your experience, okay? So you get there the night before and you have rehearsals, right?
That was the plan. The plan was to have, you know, not full rehearsals, but at least spotty rehearsals to just go over a couple of the arrangements throughout the weekend. You know, Neil booked me for about, I think it was over 363 songs that weekend. And, you know, it's, you know, one of these events, you know, obviously all the musicians Neil got are all world-class players and world-class guys, but, and girls, but, you know, it's hard sometimes to, you know, especially with the Unplugged set, the arrangements are so different, and trying to come up with endings for these songs that there's never been a live recording for, you want to just at least get in a room together and run the arrangement at least once. So especially for me as the drummer who's leading the arrangement a little bit, I want to know where to end it, where who's cueing what, and what to expect. So the plan was to do a little quasi-rehearsal the night before. But of course, with the weather that weekend, our flight was super delayed. We were stuck in the air for like over an hour. I didn't get to the rehearsal area until way after, like into my third rehearsal that night. So I missed most of my rehearsals that first night.
Wow.
Well, it didn't seem like it.
It didn't seem like it. I know you've been rehearsing at home and stuff like that as well. But you know, there's nothing like rehearsing with the actual band that you're going to be performing with. So, for those of you that don't know, Joey played the second side of Lick It Up. He played a bunch of unplugged stuff, and he played the entire Alive 3. Album with Bruce and Todd and Joe McGinnis from Quarantine, and all of it was awesome. All of it was so much fun. I would say definitely for me the highlight was the Alive 3. Bruce comes out there. He's a class act. You know, he walked out exhausted. He literally flew in the same that morning, right?
Right. Yep.
So he played Vegas the night before, right?
He was in Vegas, I think, the night before. I'm not sure if it was. I think it was Vegas. I think it was a Grand Funk show, right?
I think so. Yeah. Say Vegas.
Yep. And he flew in, got in that afternoon, and he's still on, you know, West Coast time. So by the time we went on that night, which was around, I guess, around 10 p.m., it's 1 a.m. for Bruce. So Bruce was a real trooper. Obviously, Bruce's playing is incredible still to this
day.
Maybe better than ever. Yeah. And, you know, just the consummate professional. He flew in, no sleep, you know, took a flight right to the venue. I don't even know if he got a chance to stop at his hotel, jumped on stage, did a full hour set with us, did a photo shoot, did a full signing. All in the name of Kiss Cancer Goodbye. So it was just incredible what Bruce did.
It really was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys just got up there and kicked ass. It was so much fun.
Really?
So and of course I don't have all the names, but I know you do, Joey. So the first thing you and Steve played with what was the young lady's name again?
Mariah Formica. Mariah. She's from a band called Plush, and she's also with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Right,
she's
and she was on The Voice as well, wasn't she?
She was.
She was on The Voice. That girl kicks ass in a huge way.
Yeah, and one of the best vocalists you'll ever hear.
And then the gentleman playing bass.
His name was Brandon Fields. He played bass for us on the Unplugged show last year as well. He's in Minefield with Todd Kearns too. Great, great bass player, singer. We kicked off the weekend. Hey, Sonny.
Hey.
We kicked off the weekend and we did a full unplugged set. You know, we wanted to start it off the same. You know, we wanted to kind of lull people into like thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, it's just Kiss Unplugged again. So we kicked it off with Coming Home.
Right. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, we kind of did it as a wrench. You know, just to make almost disappoint people. And then, you know, from there, everything was rarity. You know, we write the next song, one of Sonny's favorites of all time, It's Over Now from Freely's Comet, Todd Howard's, you know, masterpiece. And, you know, we started, that was really where the rarities kicked in. And from there, it was just all of the Unplugged set was just so much fun. I got to sing Little Caesar while playing the drums. A lot of this stuff is on my YouTube page. I'm going to post some links in the comments soon, but a lot of the live performances I'm editing now and are on my YouTube page, but especially some of the Unplugged stuff, like It's Over Now. I just posted Hide Your Heart with Mariah singing. Great version of Shandy we did. We did Sure Know Something. Just a lot of fun that Unplugged set. Mm-hmm.
Sonny, all right, so let's go backwards in time, because Sonny's with us now. On the 7th of October, he was in Vegas. How did that go, Sonny?
You guys can hear me okay?
Yep. Yeah, we hear you great.
All right. It went well. I got there on Friday night because I didn't want to miss the show, and these guys were like, you need to be there right at 7 because there's going to be stuff going on, you know, that kind of thing. Packed house. Vamp probably holds, what, 400 or 500 people?
Yeah,
right.
And you can breathe in there. Like, it was packed.
Oh, that's great.
So they definitely had a good turnout for sure. Let me tell you, Andrew Freeman sang the first few songs, and I'll give you the set list here in a second. Andrew sounded great. They had a bunch of people, a lot of Vegas musicians joining, which was great, which they have joined in the past. Bruce Kulick made an appearance later on in the night, and I'll tell you what songs he did. Todd Howarth was there. He did some songs. I'll tell you songs what he did. And the whole point was they were going to do the first album in full. They actually didn't do that till near the end of the night. It was nearly 11:30 before they even started that. That's how many songs they had already done before that even happened.
And it started at 7.
Doors opened at 7. They started promptly at 8, and they were balls to the wall. I left at 12:15. They were still going. Dude, holy I couldn't handle anymore. I was like, dude, I got to go to sleep. Like, I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah, but it is also because you're on the East Coast time, you know. But,
yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. And this is like, you know, when you get these kinds of shows, and we've been to these kinds of shows, like at a Rockin' Pod or whatever, and it takes forever for the other musicians to get on there. And it's 10 minutes between each song and blah, blah. That's not what happens here. First of all, anybody who goes up there is doing 2 or 3, 4 songs in a row. Second, the core musicians are pretty much staying put. They take breaks every once in a while, so a different person will switch out. But there's no downtime. They just go. Right? Wow. So give you an idea. So they started with Love Gun, Parasite, Lick It Up. Andrew Freeman sang all those. Mr. Speed, Hotter Than Hell, Come On and Love Me, Spit, Making Love. Wow. Strange Ways.
Nice.
Ladies in Waiting, I Stole Your Love, Going Blind. Then the Psycho Circus, this Generation Kiss was there, all in makeup and everything. They did Psycho Circus, Calling Dr. Love, God of Thunder. Howarth gets up there. They do Breakout. By the way, the drum part was dead on.
Who did it?
Sean McKee.
Oh, so, that's a crazy drum part. It really
dude,
is.
Dude, if you're going to do Rip It Out or if you're going to do Breakout, if that drum part's not right, I get pissed.
Absolutely right. Right?
I get it.
Yeah. So they did Breakout, Something Moved, Calling to You, and then they did Rip It Out with Todd there, but Todd didn't sing it. They go to Shock, Todd leaves, they go to Shock Me, Do You Love Me, She, Watching You, and then Bruce joins. They do All American Man, Larger Than Life, Wouldn't You Like to Know Me, Nowhere to Run, Tonight You Belong to Me, and Goodbye.
All Bob Kulick songs.
All Bob Kulick songs. Nice. Bruce says goodbye, and they start the Kiss debut album in full.
Oh, come on.
Sweet.
And I left at 12:15. I'm just like, I gotta go. Like, these guys that go till 3 o'clock in the morning, they're like playing like they're in their garage drinking and going all night. And they got, you know, 50 of them up there switching in and out. There's one of me.
I got to tell you what a time it is to be a Kiss fan. I know, you know, obviously Kiss is coming to an end, but that doesn't mean Kiss is coming to an end for us. When think back even 20 years ago, 10 years ago. The set list that Sonny just named, combined with the set list the next few nights at Kiss Cancer Goodbye, it's like a Kiss fan's wet dream. It's incredible.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. Lee, let's talk to you for a second. I hadn't got to you really. I sat with you and Karen and other friends, Bill. Time. Yeah, we had a great time. I kept peeking over at Lee, and you're singing every song, and you were even standing up and moving a little bit. And I was like, man, it's so cool to see my friends having a good time. These places that we were, whether it was Sunny in Vegas or the rest of us when we were in Sarasota, it's very comfortable for us to be in these situations. You agree, Lee?
Oh, yeah, because everyone's of the same mindset. I mean, that's where I've met a lot of friends, is at KISS stuff, like some of my really good friends. So you just feel comfortable, man, with everybody. You say hi to people you don't even know. You know, it's just like a brotherhood, you know?
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was a great time, man.
Yeah, it was great. Every song was good. I enjoyed it. I have to be honest, man. I took the opportunity because Joey gave us backstage passes, and I took the opportunity to actually, while he was playing, walk up there and just sit and watch him. I've done that before when he played with Quarantine, not to blow smoke up of his ass or anything, but it's a lot of fun to watch your friends do what they love. Right. You know, I can honestly say, you know, it's cool to see that kind of thing. You know, it's I'm watching him and I'm going, man, as much as I consider myself a musician, it's like, I've never had the experience that what I was just watching. And I'm like, there's got to be fun and pressure and excitement. I'm like trying to get pictures of him, Todd, Bruce, and Joe all at the same time. I'm thinking to myself, you know, he played with Ace yesterday. He's playing with Bruce today.
Unreal.
Joey, I mean, so you played with Ace, and you've played with Bruce before as well?
I have, yeah. I played with Bruce a couple times at different events. When my old ZO2 bass player passed away, we did a little tribute concert. Bruce and I played a few songs together. I've known Bruce for years, of course, and when I got the call to do this show for the full Alive 3 concert, obviously, it's super high pressure, but I jumped at the opportunity. What else could I do? I mean, all I do is I love to play KISS songs more than anything. And more than that, I love to play those era of KISS songs. It would be harder for me to recreate the first KISS record than it would be for me to recreate Alive 3, just because it's more of my style of playing. So, you know, I jumped at the opportunity. And I will tell you, Joe, you know, to piggyback off what you said, and I appreciate so much what you said about, you know, you watching me play. I enjoyed so much having you guys there and just not only being in the audience, but being there supporting me and seeing your faces in the audience as I play. It made my night. It really did. I loved, you know, it was surreal to me to be on stage with Bruce playing Alive 3 and seeing you guys in the audience and seeing some of the other KISS fans, where I'm always on the other side of the fence too. But, and to go backwards, playing with Ace the first night. So we did the full unplug set. We knew Ace was going to come out with an electric. He wanted to do an electric version of Rip It Out. Of course, we said yes. Rip It Out was tricky for me to learn. Like, I know Rip It Out. But, you know, over the years, the live versions that Ace has been doing recently is a little different. It's a little slower. It's a little more methodical. And I said, you know what? I'm such an Anton Fig freak. I love his playing so much. I said, I'm going to try to combine the two. So what, you know, my approach was, I'll tell you the feedback Ace gave me later, but my approach to Rip It Out was, I'm going to honor it a little bit from what they do now, which is a little bit on that slower side, but still push the tempo as much as I can to get it a little bit more like that 78 solo album. And I think I hit it right on the nose as far as being in the middle of those two. It wasn't maybe as bright as the solo album, but it definitely wasn't as you know, slow and prodding like in the more recent versions that Ace does live. And Ace afterwards came up to me, told me one of the best versions he's ever played of Rip It Out. He loved it. Thought it was pushing, thought my playing was spot on. Love the middle section, Sonny. Obviously I agree with you. If you do Rip It Out or Breakout and you don't nail that middle section, and it's a high pressure middle section, I got to tell you, the whole weekend, there was two pressure spots for me, and no one will ever guess the second pressure spot. One was obviously the Rip It Out middle section. Just, not that it's the most difficult. It's hard. Don't get me wrong. But it's just got to be honored in the perfect way. And I hope I did it justice. And the other one, believe it or not, and no one will guess this one. What do you guys think the other high pressure You guys know more than Sonny maybe what songs I was on. What do you think the other high pressure point of the weekend was for me?
Watching me get up there and worrying that I was going to fuck up a song so bad.
that was high pressure. And we'll get into that too, Joe.
Okay, great. I don't know. What was it?
It's funny, and it took until the end of the weekend, of course. That's just my luck. The stupid God gave rock and roll to you into Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, wow.
It's so much trickier than people think. God gave is very tricky. We never rehearsal. So there's a lot of moving parts in that song.
There's a ton in that song.
With that middle harmony breakdown and then the re-entrance and the build-up. And there's like a little crescendo and decrescendo there. It's such a hard song to recreate live. And then going, even though Star Spangled Banner is Bruce's moment to shine, all those accents, it's got to be perfect. And if it's not, it's just a train wreck. And, you know, that's all cue stuff. It's loose time. So it's hard to figure out who's going to give the cues in the right spots. And we just hit it the night before. We ran it a little bit with Todd, and Todd was literally like humming the Star Spangled Banner as we were doing the hits. So those were my two high pressure point situations in the whole weekend.
Wow. We met so many people at this event. Most of you guys are in here, Frank and Alexander. Mm-hmm. We met so many of you guys at this. We met Sink and Stanley without makeup.
Just
Sink
super and quick.
Stanley in person.
Frank, I loved at the event. He's now also dead to me because he said go Jets earlier on in the comments.
That's terrible. Okay, so now we're going to talk. We've got a lot more to talk about, but I want to show you guys something because I really thought, you know, all right. So I went, Karen and I went to Nashville for my birthday. First of all, we weren't together for Sonny's birthday. Sonny, happy birthday. When was your birthday? It was the 13th?
14th.
14th. Okay, 14th. Happy birthday. Sonny is now 50 years old. That's Woo-hoo! Amazing.
That was a long time ago.
We're throwing ourselves bones here.
We sent some nice happy birthday message, I think, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I appreciate it.
So Sunday was my birthday. This past, not yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And Karen and I went to Nashville and we decided when we were going to go see Kiss. So I bought front row tickets. I've never done that before. It was a spectacular
nothing like time. It.
There's nothing like nothing that. Like it. I will tell you, I was excited for the whole show. That being said, somebody mentioned to me, hey, I saw you and Karen on the screen like 10 times.
Wow.
Nice. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, this could be bad. I wasn't picking my nose or anything like that, but I was doing something worse.
Were you groping poor Karen?
No.
Were you eating ice cream?
No, I wanted
like George,
to show
like
you
Costanza.
Guys.
We're gonna see it.
You're gonna see it. I went and found it online. This is just for you guys.
Oh my God.
They're gonna show the camera up close. You're gonna see me. I'm gonna be like maybe in the center left of the screen here. Now, for those of you that are listening, in order to see this and get a good laugh on my behalf, you're going to have to go and watch the video, the YouTube. You guys that aren't subscribed yet, you subscribe to the show. We have a great time here. Don't forget we have a Patreon, and we go and do a show after this every Sunday. So, by the way, this is now officially our last show here where I'm at. So we finally got through with the house, so I'll be there next week, and I don't know what the set's gonna look like on my end, but here we go. I'll tell you more about my experience, but before we do that, I really want you guys to enjoy this most embarrassing moment on the biggest screen I have ever seen.
Your nose, I gotta see.
All right, here it goes.
Oh boy.
Was that it?
Serious? That's gone.
Pause it.
That is literally me
singing. Say yeah.
Say yeah at singing the top of my lungs.
Yeah, you're a disgrace, Joe.
What are you supposed to? What are you supposed to do?
Fuck you.
No, but I always complain about that song.
We would have been doing the same thing.
Yep. I know, but that's what I noticed. No,
if it was
not in the moment.
If it was anything for my baby and you were singing along, you have been a hypocrite. This is okay.
I'm watching the video and I'm thinking, oh my God, please don't be on the screen during Say Yeah, because I knew I was singing it. And there I am going, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh my God, so embarrassing. Anyway, let me tell you guys about what happened with us. I guess Friday or Saturday, I get a message from a friend of ours who watches the show, Larry. Him and his one of his buddies. So Larry bought a guitar from Tommy Thayer, and he was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go backstage and I get to meet Tommy Thayer." And I was like, "Oh man, that's awesome! Which guitar did you get?" We talked, and he goes, "I can take two more people. Why don't you and Karen come with us?" Sweet. And I was like, "All right, thank you." I said, "Are you sure you don't have somebody else you want to take?" And he was like, "No, man, this is for your birthday. We're taking you for your birthday."
Wow. Nice.
Okay. So mind you, I've never done the VIP experience for the Kiss show. So we get there, we get in line for the VIP line. It's forever long. More VIPs, I think. I mean, I've done the rehearsal, like the sound check, you know, and there was maybe 20 or 30 people at it. This time there was at least 150 people there.
Oh, wow.
for the sound check. And I say at least because I really believe it was more. We get through, we get our credentials. They take us to what they call the captain's lounge. There's all these pictures set up. I did a video. I'll post it. All these pictures set up of the band through the years, all these stand-ups where you can take your picture. They've got an open bar. It's open. I mean, you get tickets, but there was plenty going around. You didn't have to. There were people everywhere walking up going, "I don't drink. You want my tickets?" And, you know, everybody at the table's going, "Yep." And, you know, it was really funny because after the sound check, people were walking around going, "Hey, I'm not drinking anymore. I still have a ticket." And they would give somebody a ticket. And then at the sound check, people got guitar picks. They were like, "Oh, well, here's a guitar pick." And they were just, you know, it was really kind of cool. And there was,
let me guess, did Karen use all those drink tickets?
She used some of them.
Ah, I know. Karen was shots were flowing at Kiss Cancer Goodbye from Karen.
Karen. Oh yeah. She was buying drinks, wasn't she?
Oh, yes.
So anyway, so we're back there, and then they said, so we're chilling, and then it's, all right, you got to go to the sound check. We go to the sound check. It is, Kiss is late getting there, and we had to do it in a completely different room than the stage where they normally do it because it's a brand new stage. I think when we saw it, might have been the second or third time used. The screen is enormous. The stage is all new. It's huge. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. So much fun. They come out. They did four songs, I think. And then Paul goes, "Let's do one more." And they did another one. And one guy, it got so hot. One guy passed out over by Larry and his friend. I think he just fainted, and that was interesting. I mean, you're not really expecting it, you know. It just kind of happened that way, but it was hot, and we were hanging out with Mike Williams from Classic Rock Drops and Kiss Talk, and his wife and Tuck was there, and it was really good to see those guys as well, and. There was a gentleman that was across from me who waved at me, and I he sat with us at Peter Chris's last show. We've seen each other a couple of times, and he's waved at me. So all these people were there. We're having a great time. We saw Keith LaRue. Keith was like, he looked at me, and he goes, Joe, you picked the busiest show on the of the last 50 to come. And I was like, well, I didn't know, you know? It's like, so we go. Then as soon as we got back after the sound check, we got to Larry looked at us and goes, hey, man, we got to go and meet. Got to go meet Tommy now. So I had told Karen the day before, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to ask Tommy some questions for the show. I said, I'm just going to ask. The Sonny said something to me a long time ago, and what he said to me was, the worst he can say is no. Mm-hmm. And I was a little nervous about it because I'm not paying for this time. You know what I'm saying? Larry, he bought a guitar, and this is his time. So as they're setting up, Tommy says, he introduces himself. He's very, very so friendly. He introduced us to his daughter, who happened to be there. Very beautiful. I looked at her and I said, has he made you play golf yet? And in the back, you can hear, it's like he was listening to what I said. Just one like that, you know. And she was there the whole time. And as they're pulling out the guitar, I said, hey, Tommy, I do a podcast called Podcast Rock City. We met in Indianapolis. I said, when you guys are done here, can I ask you a few questions for the show? And he goes, now? And I go, yeah, when you're done. He goes, okay. So he goes through the whole thing with Larry. Larry bought the I don't know what the blue is. It's like a dark, it's like a night midnight blue almost, like sparkle guitar that he bought. Beautiful Epiphone. I loved it. He wrote down what he wanted to have on there. It was going to be one of Tommy's lyrics. Was on there. He signed it after the show because he played it during Psycho Circus. So where we were sitting, I filmed him doing the solo, and I took a ton of pictures of him holding the guitar. This way Larry had plenty of material, you know,
right,
since he was buying the guitar. But sure enough, he takes pictures with us. He's, you know, explaining about the guitar. This is the guitar. This is what it is, blah, blah, blah. It was great. He was so, it's really funny because I've never been in a situation where I've been around them and it was quiet. And the leather or whatever it is so noisy. It's so funny. But I just noticed that right off the bat. But we were having a great time. We're all joking. He's joking. It's really great. We're doing pictures. He's posing with everybody. And then he looks at me and he goes, all right, man, let's do this. So he says, is somebody going to film? And I go, yes. And I recorded on my phone our voices and Karen filmed. And I only had about a minute. And I probably could have gone a little longer. But I, in my head, I was like, I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
He's giving me this time. I can get a few questions in.
You don't want to overdo it.
Yeah. And there's people behind us waiting to get their guitars that paid for this time. I did not pay for this time. Larry paid for this time and his friend Andrew was there. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't ruin anything for them. Although Andrew at one point said, hey, you know, you should really try to get him to answer some questions. Little did he know, I'd already been plotting this.
You got that set up.
I will tell you that when he said that, it kind of like buffed me up a little bit. Yeah, I really need to go ahead and ask him some questions. So
the questions you asked Joe were perfect. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see thank it. You. Okay. So I didn't, once again, I didn't want to, when I first said, if you listen to the interview, when I say, are you ready? He says he's ready. And it's like, just like Joey said, he's so unsure. what I'm about to ask him, you know, there's no preparation. So let me go ahead and load this up for you guys. And for you guys out there.
Yeah, it's perfect. Again, you would never, that's what these rock stars want. The questions you ask are so left field
Right.
That it's perfect because they're so used to answering the same questions. What's it like wearing the makeup all night? What's it like playing? They don't want to answer that stuff. These are perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you watch it, even though it's only about a minute long, I will tell you guys, I've been holding on to this. I wanted to show you guys so bad, but I wanted to use it for the show. And if you watch from the beginning, when I say, are you ready? He has a very, I'm ready, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes, I can.
If you watch, as I've only got a few questions, but you could see him relaxing, you know, just because we're obviously having fun. So here we go. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rick City. I'm with Tommy Thayer, and I got some quick questions for you. Ready?
I'm ready.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Red wine or white wine?
That's a tough one because I do a little bit of both, but probably white.
White wine?
A little soft.
On a desert island, what record do you have to have?
Montrose, the first album.
Whoa, that's a good one. What club do you hit the best?
On the golf club?
Uh-huh.
6 iron.
Tell your fans what they mean to you.
I love our fans and... Kiss Army, our Kiss fans are the best fans in the world, most dedicated and the most passionate and loving, and that's why we're all here.
We're out of here. 3, 2, 1, peace. And that's the interview.
You know, you could have done that when we had him for an hour and a half the day in Indianapolis.
Right. Well, yeah. Now, see, now here's the thing. You and I did an interview with him. Him and Bruce at the same time in Indianapolis, you know, but I wasn't doing these at the time. But, you know, it only occurred to me when we met Gene Simmons, but one of the things that was awesome was I felt as I was asking me these questions, I felt his demeanor loosen a little. In one right. minute, he seemed to relax, but I asked him the question about wine, of course, because he has a vineyard. I asked him, he was like, golf club? Like, he couldn't believe I was asking what club
First
he
First of all, his answer, 6 iron. Wow.
Yeah.
That surprises you?
I don't even keep a 6 iron in my bag.
A lot of people say that, actually.
6 or 7 iron is usually the one that
Seven is more common, even a 9, but I don't even keep, like I said, I don't even keep a 6 in my bag. 6 is a, you know, Tommy's obviously a really good golfer, so he... Yeah. He definitely utilizes all those clubs.
I will tell you now. So Joey and I had a bet at the Kiss Cancer Goodbye. So Joey
and the wager was a night with Karen, I believe.
Yeah, and she already paid up. Relax. Anyway, no kidding. Oh, I think I just heard a scream from upstairs. No.
She's paying up now.
I'm in so much trouble now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, so I'm standing in line to meet Ace. The fan band is playing on stage. I'm a little nervous because not only am I standing in line to meet Ace, but I'm supposed to get on that stage soon to right. play rock and roll.
We're nervous, night. And we're all wagering on this question.
Yeah. So Joey says, I'm going to ask him I'm going to ask Ace Frehley Star Wars or Star Trek. And I say, he's going to say Star Wars. And Joey's like, no way. He's going to say Star Trek.
And I said Star Trek too.
And you said Star Trek. So we go in and Ace is signing my stuff. And, I go, hey, Ace, Joey and I have a bet, Star Wars or Star Trek? And he never even looks up. He just goes, Star Trek.
That's right.
And you that's when,
yeah, go ahead. Joe forgets these guys are from a generation earlier than us.
Right.
Star Trek is their childhood, not Star Wars is our childhood.
It's right.
Different. Neither one's my childhood. Right. I hate both of them. Yeah.
No, stop it. You still grew up in the Star Wars age, you goofy idiot.
Yeah, I just don't like it. Battlestar Galactica, baby.
Oh, God, I love it.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I love Battlestar Galactica, too. Yeah.
That newer Galactica is amazing, too. I don't know if you ever watched it, Sonny.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God, it's great.
But Dirk Benedict is always going to be face. Sorry.
Oh, of course he is.
It's going to be face.
And that lady, I've seen her in different things too. And I'm like, yeah, I'm always going to remember the blue eyes and like the white tight outfit. That's what I'll remember.
Okay.
But Joe, leading into that, right. So Joe's online. He's nervous. He's going to play with the fan band. So Joe, for some reason, Joe, I don't know if people know, is a great guitar player. But this idiot decides, let me sign up to play drums in the fan band, not guitar. Why? Let's start there. Why?
I didn't want to drag a guitar down to Florida with me.
You could have used, there was 90 guitars.
He's a lefty.
He's a lefty.
Oh, you're right.
And there was a guy there, but he was lefty and he was playing at the same time.
You can throw a guitar in your car. Come on.
I didn't want to do that. I thought to myself, the simplest thing to do would be go on down there, pick up some drumsticks and get on the drums.
Play drums, lefty?
No, because every time I've ever been on a drum set, it's always been somebody else's drums.
Well, you play open handed like a lefty, but you
like
play
Phil
with
Collins.
But you play with your right foot. No, not like Phil Collins. Phil Collins plays a lefty kit.
Oh, I thought I've seen him on righty kits like open.
But you play with your right foot.
Right foot.
Interesting.
On the kick drum, left foot on the hi-hat, left hand on the hi-hat and snare. Weird. I got so many messages about how cockeyed I looked and people that were watching and texting me and going, you're screwing me up watching this, Joe.
Well, the funniest part was, I will tell you, Joe nailed it. He was great.
You.
He played perfectly.
Made us proud.
But I don't know how he didn't notice. Maybe he's was blind. Maybe he was nervous. Maybe he's just dopey. I think little of all three.
Yes.
So he picks up sticks, I think, out of the stick bag that was there, right?
There was like a tube or a bag or something.
Right. So he picks up sticks out of the stick holder, gets ready to start the song, and he's playing the whole intro and the whole first verse. There are two sticks sitting on the snare drum.
Oh, my God.
While he's playing. He's playing, and he's hitting the sticks. I have the video. Joe, I sent you the video, right?
I don't know, but I haven't seen
it. He's hitting the sticks as he's playing. Finally, the sticks fall off, and it's great. But for a good 30 or 40 seconds, he's hitting sticks on the snare drum.
And I'm going to tell you something.
Oblivious. He didn't even know.
I knew they were there. I was revolutionizing the drum.
Yeah.
Sounds like the first guy ever. But I didn't miss a beat. I knew, all right, I screwed up. Here they are. But I just kept going and hitting, and I played fine. But it was a lot of fun. I have to say that I'm super proud that I got to play with Joe McGinnis and his son Chase. One of the guys from Sisters Doll, the lead guitar player, was up there. He sang. Joe McGinnis's son Chase, after it was all over, he was messing with me. He's young, and he had just had a great time. He played the solo. It was beautiful. I watched the video a number of times. He did so well. It was so cool to see him on stage and his father standing right next to him. As I'm playing, McGinnis is looking at me and he's like getting into it because we obviously know each other. And he's like, this was just such a great experience. And then his son comes over to me at the end. He goes, we could really start a band. I was like, that's awesome. I'm glad you had that much fun. But he played the Bruce Kulick banana yellow guitar, and his solo was great. And it was so much fun. And then, when it was over, I got off stage, and then the text messages from all the people that know us in the crowd started coming in. What were you doing? How are you playing the drums like that?
Well, I will say, for people who were crapping on it, the live feed for the event was awful. They were having a lot of technical difficulties with the live. So the live feed company was a company that wasn't used to dealing with a lot of live rock audio. They were a live streaming company that dealt with speaking events and religious events and all these different events. They weren't used to dealing with the sound, of course, that they were going to deal with that weekend. So the audio from that weekend was just dreadful on the live stream, which is why Neil has removed it from all our sites. You know, a lot of the videos that I post on my YouTube page and my Facebook and Instagram account, I've been utilizing some of the live stream video, at least integrated with some fan audio, some of my audio. Joe had some audio running in the back. So we did preserve a lot of it, but a lot of it was lost, unfortunately.
Yeah. But I will tell you guys, if you haven't seen it yet, go to Joey's YouTube page, Joey Quesada. And there's a lot, I think most of it is up there.
I posted the link in the feed here. Yeah. I'll post it again. So almost the whole Alive 3 show is up, with the exception of Rock and Roll All Night and I Love It Loud. I just can't find great audio of either one of them yet. I'm just waiting on that. If anyone has good audio or video from those two songs, please send it to me. But the whole other, all of the rest of the show is up. Watch it in order. It's literally the Alive 3 album cover to cover. It's such a great event.
So Sonny, this was your, how many times have you been to the Vegas thing?
Three times.
This was your third time. Are you like, if I go next year, would you go with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I really, after meeting the guys, I really want to go and experience that. I think it would be good. I bet we can get Joey onto the stage there, and then we'll be like, we know Joey. It's like, and we'll drag Lee along, but we got to make sure Lee comes with us, because I want to see Lee play slot machines. I don't know why, but Lee, like, this looks like, have you played Kiss slot machine? That's awesome. Joey. So I don't know if I'm allowed to bring this up. What's going on in your life right now? What's happening? What? So now that we've talked about all this, all that struggle and hard work is done now. I know that I bought tickets to an event, and Karen and I are renting a car because I don't know New York. I'm stupid.
Oh, you did rent a car. So that's, I mean, listen, I know you talked about some other options. The only way to do what you're thinking about doing, Joe, is to rent a car.
I have, when I hear Joey, when I see that Joey and ZO2 are playing in New York, I just see New York.
It's a big state.
Right. So the plan was, you know, ZO2 has reformed recently. We're doing some random events throughout the year. We got a new album possibly coming out in the new year, or maybe even late this year, which we technically haven't announced yet. So that might be news breaking right there. But what we were trying to do was we were trying to plan a really fun event around the last two Kiss shows in Manhattan. And the plan was to get Quarantine and maybe some other big Kiss, you know, events, maybe Ace, all the stuff involved. And it just, unfortunately, we couldn't get anything together in Manhattan. Everything was booked and the dates didn't work out, and a lot of logistics didn't pan out for us. So what we're doing is we have a show out in Long Island that night, which for anyone who knows Manhattan, it's not just a hop, skip, and a jump. It's about a 45-minute drive from Manhattan, and it's not a easily accessible public, you know, transportation spot to get to. So what we're doing is we're doing a show out in Long Island that night. We're doing a full ZO2 show. And we're going to do a Kiss jam after the show, which all that basically means is we're having a lot of guest musicians, celebrities come up, jam on Kiss songs, which, Joe, I want to definitely sign you up for something. We got to talk. If you're definitely coming,
are you kidding me?
We got to sign you up. We'll figure something out. And not on drums, you goofy idiot.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure out how to get you a lefty guitar.
But it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. It's at 89 North on November 30th. So it's the night before the last two Kiss shows.
So let me tell you something else. Sonny, were you going to say something?
Joey, who you got playing bass? Is it Sean?
Yep, Sean McNabb. So Sean McNabb is basically, you know, he is a part of ZO2 now moving forward. You know, ZO2 is doing this slow relaunch right now. We're just keeping the name alive. We're going to do hopefully random shows throughout years. And, you know, festivals, hopefully, and some big shows here and there, record some new music. But Sean is now the third member of ZO2. Yeah, he's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So we're getting ready to leave. We're done with the event. We're getting ready to leave. And I look at Joey and I go, oh man, I got tickets to your show. And you're like, are you flying up to New York or driving? I was like, flying. Why? And he's like, you goofy bastard. It's an hour drive to wherever we're playing. And I was like, yeah, we're coming. And in on the drive back, Karen's like, we'll rent a car. We'll go. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to go. We bought VIP tickets. We're amazing. Up in the balcony where the bar is and everything. I got to take care of my girl. And we're going to go and we're going to have fun.
I'm not sure if there's a – anyway, go ahead.
It was said balcony.
The car won't be a problem in Long Island. The car would be a problem in Manhattan. Where the hell do you put it?
Well, that's a great point. So you're renting a car, driving to Long Island for the show, but you're staying in Manhattan?
Yes, we're just going to turn around and drive back and drop the car off.
Oh, return the car. That's the way.
Yeah, that's what
you're don't park the car.
Because parking in Manhattan is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I wouldn't even try. Yeah. So, and I'm going to tell you this, I ain't driving. I'm going to put her in the car. So if she dings the car, up, it's her fault. Okay. But listen, now I have said Karen mentioned this. I saved the best for last because something else happened. Let me tell you, there's something about being a girl and meeting a rock star. And I've been around and seen it a few times, but not like this one time. So Karen and Lee and I are standing there. Lee has these pants that she made that are Kiss pants. She sewed all these patches and things on them, and it's all Kiss. And all night long and all day long, all you hear is cool pants, awesome pants, amazing pants. Where'd you get those pants?
Make
pants,
me a pair.
Pants,
no.
Pants, pants, pants. It was amazing. So Lee is like, what do you think? I'm going to get an Ace to sign my pants. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Where? And I was like, she's like, where? And I'm like pointing in all the wrong places. I'm like, have him sign right there. And she's like, no. And I'm like, why not right there? And she's like, no. And then so right here on the inside of her leg, though, there is a picture of Ace, right?
Well, it was the Alive 2 thing. So.
Right, right. So this is what they tell you. Don't look at Ace directly in the eyes.
They don't tell you that. Stop it.
Don't ask him any questions.
Nobody said that.
I'm just kidding. But there's all kinds of rules.
There are.
Okay. For, you know, don't take pictures because people paid.
Well, I just paid for the autograph, not the
right. Place. Lee goes in there with her pants, sits down. Ace is signing them. Next thing you know, he's like, you want to take some pictures? She's like, sure, let's take some pictures. Boop, 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 beep, bing,
oh,
bing,
that's bing, not bing. How it happened.
He's hanging out with her for 10 minutes. They're having a conversation. I'm thinking to myself, first of all, I don't want to talk to him because he likes Star Trek anyway. Screw him.
Yeah.
But I'm just sitting there. I'm like, this is crazy. Here, John Astronomy is looking at her going, don't we know each other? Yeah. You know me. And he's like, oh, yeah, you come to all the events. I know you. I'm like,
he follows
nobody
me.
Nobody
knows all
me.
My cosplays and everything. Pennywise.
Nobody knows Joe. Nobody knows Joe. I'm a failure. Lee, on the other hand, gets so much love. It's amazing. And it's the funniest thing. But it was a great time. So what did you guys talk about when you
Joe,
and
Joe? I'm not sure if you know this. I'm gonna break something to you. This is maybe heartbreaking.
Don't mention boobs because I got them too. And if you go ahead and say that,
no, you just don't look like Lee.
No, I don't.
I was gonna say, look at Lee, and then look at you.
Oh, stop it, you guys.
And then look at Lee, and then look at you.
Listen, I
and then
know.
Look at Lee. Look at toilet
like
bowl, and then look at you.
Oh, toilet bowl. Listen, I want you guys to know this. There are so many of you guys that you've met me and we've hung out in various things, and they're always like, Joe is so nice and everything. I want you to understand something. I'm a fucking asshole. I'm letting you know that right now. I'm so close to bumping Lee right now. You have no I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So when you were sitting there, what did you tell me that he was uncomfortable signing your pants?
No, when I first sat down, they were like, Ace, sign her pants, like, cause that's what I paid for, you know, the signature. So he immediately just put his arm around me. He was going like this. He's like, let's get some photos. You know, I was like, Well, I didn't, you know, I didn't pay for a photo, but he just kept doing it. So I gave him my phone. They took a bunch of photos. And then they took photos of him signing. No, he wasn't uncomfortable.
Oh, I would have been uncomfortable.
They sign all kind of stuff.
But it was
Ace would have been very uncomfortable signing the inside of your thigh.
Of your pants, Joe. Not mine.
Look at Lee.
News for you. I would have done what that guy did to Gene Simmons in that picture that Lee had. God. I would have dropped my pants and made him sign my butt cheek.
That was disturbing.
Signing dudes' butts.
That was disturbing.
Just so you guys know, the butt that Lee showed us in our feed was literally the second person's butt I've seen this week that was not related to anybody that I know. That's all I'm going to say about that. Just to make sure everybody understands everything. It was such a great time.
It was.
We've been getting messages. I've been seeing people wanting to know what I had signed. I had Ace and Bruce sign Kiss Alive 3. I'm meeting Peter in like 14 days or something. I'm going to have him sign Kiss Alive. No, not Kiss Alive 3. I'm sorry. Unplugged. I'll have three of them on there. I had Ace sign my summer special from when Destroyer came out, and they sent to the radio station promo out. Ace signed that, and I'm going to have Peter sign it. I don't know that I'll ever be able to get anybody else to, but that I did it for fun. And for my birthday, Karen bought me something. Where she gave me a budget, and then I had to put in a little money, but it's a pretty big budget. But I got this for my birthday.
Oh, the radio.
Nice.
You didn't have a radio?
I didn't have a radio.
Wow, congratulations.
And it even has the bottom.
Nice.
Which a lot of people say is missing. Yes. And then Sonny says, why would you get a radio, Joe?
Did you get the little box with it?
No, I didn't. No.
The box is missing the lid and the radio is missing an eye. I guarantee you.
Joe, let's see your new shirt. Is that your new shirt?
This is the new shirt. This is the new shirt. That looks.
That's sweet.
I like it.
I like it. Yeah, yeah.
I like it a lot.
What's
I like
on
it
the back? Dates?
Dates, yeah.
On the bottom of that shirt in Japanese, you know what that says?
No.
Does it say, I like booty calls?
No. It says, look at Lee, and then look at you. And then look at Lee, and then look at you.
Stop it.
So Darth Shredder wants to know if I packed up all my sweatshirts. No, I didn't.
One sweatshirt he wears.
I wear three different sweatshirts, and this I want to show off my shirt.
That's a nice looking shirt.
Just I know we're running out of time, so just quickly to piggyback on the Ace stuff. So we didn't touch on it yet because we had so much to cover today, but that new Blabbermouth article with Ace saying how when Paul. I think here's his new album. He's going to look like an imbecile or something like that. So just quickly. So listen, clickbait is clickbait, right? If you read the article, what Ace is trying to say, Paul said that if Ace and Peter were back in the band, they would be called Piss. And he refers to that in the article. All Ace is trying to say is when Paul hears his new record or anyone else hears his new record, it's going to make him look like an imbecile because he's trying to say that he can still play and sing. That's what he's trying to say. He's not saying, he's not saying that he's going to make Paul look like an imbecile because Paul can't sing or play anymore. Everything is taken out of context.
Right.
So before you guys shit on people or comment on stuff, read full articles. And I will tell you, and as you know, I have firsthand knowledge of this, Ace's new record is going to be great. You guys are going to love it. I never want to compare. Oh my God, it's better than the 78 solo album. No, listen, guys.
No.
You can't compare stuff in nostalgia. You can't compare something that came out in 78 when I was 5 years old or someone else was this age and someone else was that age. It means a different thing to you when you're that age. So you can never go back in time and say, wow, this new record in 2023 is better than the record that I lived with in 1978 and grew up on. You're not going to think that. Whether it musically is better or not, it doesn't matter. You're not going to think that because nostalgia purposes, it just will never hit you the same way. But I will tell you, this is a great melodic record by Ace in the vein more of like that first release Comet record. It's got a lot of hit song type of songs on it. It's not of that heavy, you know, grungy feeling that Ace has had on this last, his last few records, which I thought were good. Just a different, heavier vibe than I'm used to from Ace. This is more of the pop sensibility Ace.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my issue wasn't that he's calling Paul an imbecile or whether it was kind of taken out of context. Well, my issue is it with Ace, why are you even talking about it? It's a dead issue. It's been over a year. At least.
Dude, it's
pretty, obviously annoyed Ace.
No, you guys, you guys are missing the point. He's getting ready to, this is all pre-press, right? How many clicks did that stupid article get?
That's exactly right? What
everybody
is.
Knows yeah. about Ace.
If anyone, everyone knows that Ace has a new, everyone knows Ace has a new album coming out now?
Right.
Yeah.
All that matters.
Yep. I do want to make sure that I mention one other thing because it did not slip my mind, but I wanted to make sure that we got it in there. And that was the comedy. PJ and Steve. Oh,
so good.
Did some so
Courtney. She's the best.
Courtney Cronin-Dold, who's a friend of the show. You guys all have seen her on the show with us. And she does, I can't ever remember. It's Backlines and
Punchlines.
Punchlines and Backlines. Yes, thank you. And where she takes rock stars, helps them write material or writes material, gets with them and writes material, and then puts them on stage. And there they go. They get up there and they go for it and they tell jokes. And it was so much fun. I sat in the front row and watched PJ and Steve do it, and you could. It was really crazy because they're completely and totally out of their comfort zone. You know, Sonny.
When didn't we seem well, like it though.
Yeah, right. But when we were all in Nashville for the Creatures Fest, it was Todd Kearns and who else did it? I can't remember.
I think only Todd.
No, I think Zach did it too.
Oh,
Zach. That's right.
What Courtney does a good job of is she'll take their stories and put them in a way that a comedian would say it with some punch to it, right? But it still takes practice.
Oh, my
God. I've seen somebody that she helped absolutely bomb because the person didn't practice. So it's not just they're writing, you know, they're reading off a sheet. Like, you still got to deliver it. And the person that bombed bad. It was, I'm like, oh my God, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Courtney's brilliant at what she does. She, like you said, Sonny, she takes real life situations. You know, they probably, and I don't know the full process, but I've helped Courtney a little bit in previous sessions where she did with Eric Martin and stuff like that. And even Bruce, when she did that New Year special, Courtney asked me some questions and I told her some quick little funny stories about Bruce. But what she does is, like you said, Sonny, she takes real life situations, which is really what a comedian does best, right? When you watch a comedian, you don't want to hear jokes. You want to hear real life stuff and translate it into funny situations. And that's what Courtney does. She's so smart at her comedy and how she makes someone else's situation that might not have a joke in it funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, before we go, I want you guys to know out there, I did pick up one other thing while I was in Florida, and I want you guys all to know, I recommend, look, nobody's paying me to do this. I bought this with my own money. I want to make sure that you guys know that I've been listening to this record for 2 days now. I love this record. It's good rock and roll. And if you haven't had the opportunity to hear it, go online and test it out or something before, but buy it. I got the, they were selling the vinyl there and I knew I'd wanted a copy, but I thought for some reason when I went online, I don't know. I think I thought that it was sold out, but they had a bunch of copies, blue vinyl, red vinyl. I was like, give me one. I want it. They were super friendly and they signed it for me and it's on the turntable right now. I'm not even joking. And I was listening to it for the second time. It's really good. It's great rock and roll. The guitar playing is awesome. The singing is great. The drumming is great. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things. These guys have been rockers their whole lives and it's just a really good good Rock City Motor Company. I recommend it. I think you guys, if you can't, a lot of you guys are already going to have it because I'm late by probably 2 months, I think. But, you know, give it a shot.
No.
5 months? Thanks, Sonny.
No, but it's so funny. Like that whole, I call it like the extended Kiss family, Ace's band, Ryan, Jeremy, all those guys. And then, you know, Bruce's band with Todd and Brent and Zach and all those guys. The extended Kiss family, everyone is so talented. Those guys they can play anything, anywhere. You heard, you know, all those guys do so many different things at this Kiss Cancer Goodbye event.
Yeah.
From, you know, me doing Lick It Up with Todd, or Jeremy and Ryan doing all of those early Kiss songs, the Peter stuff, you know, the originals, all those early Kiss stuff with all those crazy harmonies that they did. Some of that stuff is so, so difficult to pull off. And those guys are world-class musicians. And, you know, their original stuff is off the charts.
Yeah, great album. And it's just, what a great month October was for all of us. And we haven't even mentioned we're coming to the end of the Kiss tour. We haven't even come up with that. What we think's about to happen, what's going to happen, what we're hearing, what people have been talking about while we sat around in Florida or in Vegas or in Nashville, because there were people talking, and everybody that, you know, knew that I was a podcaster walked up and said, "What do you think's going to happen?" And, you know, I didn't tell them as much as I thought I know, but I did tell them that I thought that it was going to be fun no matter what happened, and we were going to have a blast. Now, Larry, I just saw your message, man. All you guys that we met, man, thank you very much. I do want to mention that Larry, when I met Larry, the day we were going to go and meet Tommy Thayer, he walked right up to me, gave me a birthday card, some Kiss guitar picks, some guitar picks from himself. It was just great to, you know, for somebody to be so sweet. You guys, all that I met, everybody was so nice. They all wanted to say hi to Karen. They all were at half the people were like, "Where's Lee?" And I'm like, "Well, she's in Georgia, you know," but you know,
Monday night show was too hard.
Yeah. Look, see, Sonny,
I'll be in Knoxville.
Sonny, go ahead. Say it again.
Look at Lee and then look at you and then look at Karen. And then look at you.
And that's why everybody, look at Lee. That's why everybody's like, "Is this Karen? Nice to meet you, Karen." Anyway, all right, we're gonna now listen. We're
just
about
super
to
quick. Mick Murphy just brought up a perfect thing. So his hope is beyond December. Gene groups with a lot of, you know, the Kiss, you know, alumni guys that I mentioned before, and Bruce does the same in return to conventions and expos. I agree. I'd love to hear people's thoughts. Maybe after the show, go on Facebook and tell us. What would you guys rather? Would you guys rather Kiss to keep touring the way it is or end on December 2nd? And then, like Mick Murphy said, have Gene do solo tours, maybe even have Paul do a solo tour in the future, have Bruce's band do more solo stuff, all of that stuff branch out and do more Kiss conventions and more stuff like the Vegas thing, more stuff like Kiss Cancer, more stuff like Creatures Fest. My personal opinion is I would much rather that all of that stuff to happen than for Kiss to just keep touring. I think this next wave is going to be very exciting.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you guys don't know, we have a Patreon, and when we get done here, we go over to Patreon and we record a show and then we put it up there. If you have not joined our Patreon yet, it's free for 7 days. You don't have to spend a penny. You can try it out. And if you like it, you can join it. And if you don't, you just cancel. It's not a big deal, but we've got all kinds of stuff. I will tell you that if you were on Patreon, you've had the Tommy interview since I did it. If you were on our Patreon, you got live video and video of Joey playing all during the Kiss Cancer Goodbye, separate than what our YouTube page had. So go check it out, man. We do stuff for that page, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Next week, I'll be in another location.
In the future, too, we have the Sonny Pooney Joey Jello wrestling event going on too, exclusive on Patreon. So please, if you didn't sign up yet, if you don't want to see that, you're not obviously not a Kiss fan.
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and say this. And I'm sorry, Joey, but my money's on Sonny.
You son of a bitch. Let me tell you something. Sonny may be bigger than me, but my skin, I'm
better looking.
I have olive oil emanating from my skin. I'm basically, I'm so slippery, he'll never grab a hold of me and he'll go down quick.
All that makes me feel like is I'm touching tater tots.
He's never going to let that go.
And I'll have some Parmesan cheese.
I'm a little nervous. Now I'm nervous.
All right. You guys, thank you very much. Lee, thank you very much. You have anything to add?
No, this was fun.
Great. Sonny?
Kiss Night in Vegas was great. Keith, Robert War, Stoney Curtis, Sean McKee. Great job, guys. You're awesome.
Joey?
Yeah, just if you can, go over to my YouTube page at Joey Quesada on YouTube. Check out all the videos I've been posting from Kiss Cantor. The whole Alive 3 show is up there. Check it out. Leave me comments. I'd love to hear what you guys think.
I had a great time. October has been awesome. I'm excited for November. I have one more show to go in November. And then a week after I see that show, I got two shows, plus Joey's show, plus New York. It's going to be, and Karen's birthday is going to be in New York City. It's going to be wonderful. And you guys know what I'm going to say. We love Kiss, and we love Kiss podcasts. And you're going to hear all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare, classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room.
The Dummy Room's a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests, too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.